Pece doma. Please open your Bible to the book of James, chapter 1, 19 to 22. To 22. Let's pray. O Lord, our God, we thank you that you grant us another day this evening to worship you in spirit and in truth. We rejoice in singing the hymns, O Lord, that you have grant us to choose. And in singing them, O Lord, it lift up our hearts unto thee. For thou art the real fountain of our delight. And thus bless the soul that continue to joy in thee, O Lord. And yet, O Lord, I realize because of my heart's rebellion, sometimes I cannot always praise thee as I ought to. Yet, I will at all times, Lord, by thy help, rest myself in thy great gracious dealings with me and with each one of us. I want to embrace thy excellent grace and goodness to all of us and loving kindness. Thou art in our Lord Jesus Christ the object of inexpressible joy. And I take all the exceeding pleasures surrounding this great inheritance that we have in him. So please, Lord, speak to us through thy word this evening. We do also confess to you, Lord, that when thou hast renewed me and each one of us, yet there is evil corruption that remains, which urges me and some of us still to oppose thy will. Help me, Lord, to extol thee with entire heart submission, even in sharing this word, to be diligent in my self-examination, to ask myself, O Lord, truly, on a daily basis, whether I am truly saved or born again, whether my griefs are those that tear repenting hearts, whether my joys are the joys of faith, whether my confidence in Christ works by love and purifies the soul. Because, O Lord, after having confessed our sins, that you are faithful and just to forgive us, help us to come back and cast cords of love around our hearts. Then hold each one of us and never let us go until you bless us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. James chapter 1. I'd like to read from verse 19 to 22. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Amen. I've chosen this, I'm thinking of some other text, but the Lord led me to this text, which is a very encouraging in many ways to my soul. It has been well said that either God's word will keep us away from sin, or our sin will keep us away from God's, or our sin will keep you away from God's word. Well, this has been written personally. A friend of mine gave me a Bible, and he wrote exactly that. I just saw it once, and I saw it again, which makes me dwell on this text. Apparently, some of James' readers were allowing them to experience various trials, so their joy and spiritual endurance would increase. But they lacked wisdom and fell into temptation and sin. James called them back to the Word of God and to a godly perspective on their circumstances. Now, tonight I would like to share with you two processes in which the Holy Spirit works in using God's Word to convict us, and in turn that reveals our response to God's Word. The first process that shows or reveals a response to God's word is being quick to hear, and that involves a proper attitude towards God's word. In verse 19 of our text tonight, it begins with the phrase, "This you know." No, take note of that. "This you know," which refers back to verse 18. "Of his own will begat us with a word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits to his creatures." They had experienced the power of the word in salvation, and now James wants them to allow that word to sanctify them. And for that to happen, they must be quick to hear, as we heard in verse 19. "Slow to speak and slow to anger." Being quick to hear, sometimes we miss the point. It's not just for the sake of being quick to hear. It means you don't disregard or fight against God's word by disobedience. Instead, when trials or difficult decisions come our way by means of these trials, you ask God for wisdom and receive the counsel of his word with a willingness to obey it. You're not like the disciples on the road to Emmaus, whom Jesus described as foolish men and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. That is in Luke 24, verse 25. Our scriptures continually encourage us to be quick to hear the word of God, because it provides nourishment for your spiritual life and my spiritual life. And it's used by God as our weapons against all spiritual adversaries or enemies. It is the means by which you are strengthened and equipped for every good work. That is 1 Timothy 3:16 to 17. It delivers you from trials and temptations and engages you in communion with the living God. The word should be our most welcome friend. Furthermore, be quick to hear means that it is pursuing every opportunity to learn God's truth. It's not just sometimes we feel in our tiredness, sometimes we try to read God's word before we go to bed, but sometimes because of our tiredness, we don't have that ability or that enough grace to meditate fully and learn the truth of God's word. Let the testimony of the psalmist in Psalm 119, verse 101 and 103, which says, which the psalmist shares with us to possess it ourselves and to own it ourselves. It says, "How I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day. I have restrained my feet from every evil way, that I may keep thy word. How sweet are thy word to my taste. Yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth." Secondly, we come now to the second process of revealing our attitude in responding to God's word, is that true believers or true followers of Christ embrace every truth, every word of God, word for word. As someone said it, if God tells it so, that settles everything, regardless of our doubts, regardless of our indecisiveness, with our uncertainty over issues and decisions that we need to make. If God's word says it, it settles it. Let's be mindful of that, because the word of God is the rule of our faith. And not the counsel of man, but the counsel of God's word. So, reminding you back again in verse 21, the key word in today's passage is in verse 21, is the word receive. "Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls." Not just from our sin, from eternal damnation because of our sin, but it saves us from making wrong choice of decision that we need to make on a daily basis. That is what distinguishes Christians from unbelievers. Jesus said to a group of religious unbelievers in John chapter 8, verses 43 and 47, "Why do you not understand what I am saying? It is because you cannot hear my word," Jesus said. "He who is of God hears the word of God. For this reason, you do not hear them, because you are not of God." And in the same manner, that's a personal rebuke to us as well, not only to unbelievers, but to us. But when we disobey God's word, we don't hear them, even though we read them. It does not affect our needs of discernment because of the sin that hinders us. So this is a rebuke to unbelievers, but also to us in this book of John, chapter 8, verse 43 and 47. The word here in this particular text of chapter 8 of John, particularly in verse 47, the word here in this verse doesn't refer to hearing with the ears only. Jesus' audience heard in that sense of hearing, even to the point of wanting to kill him for what he said in verse 59 of chapter 8 of John. But they didn't receive and obey his words, despite our Lord Jesus convict them of sin and righteousness. By rejecting the truth, they proved themselves to be the children of the devil, who is the father of all lies. That indicates to us in verse 44 of chapter 8. Peter called God's word the imperishable and abiding seed that brings salvation. In 1 Peter 1:23. But receiving God's word isn't limited to salvation alone. As a Christian, we have the word implanted within you or within one of us. Now, we must nurture it by removing any weeds of filthiness and wickedness so it can produce the fruit of righteousness. Again, by saying this, it is not within our power to do that. It's the power of the Holy Spirit revealed in God's word to convict us of sin and righteousness. So we don't have ability to remove the weeds of filthiness and wickedness of sin that produce in us. That's why meditating upon thy word and quick to listen and slow to anger is the process that involves in this blessedness, this holy experience of meditating upon God's word. That isn't a one-time effort, however, but a lifestyle confession. It's just like when we go to our communion, we say always, in verse John 1, 9, we confess our sin, is faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We cannot go in our communion if we have unconfessed sin. That's why it's good that we regularly go to Lord's Supper to remind us. Not just to remember what the Lord has done for us, but to remind us that we need to take a bath. Because without taking a bath for 3 days, it smells, isn't it? We need to take a bath on the blood of Christ and confess our sin. And I need to do that myself. When I commit a sin, there's something that is in me that bothers me. And I need to come down on my knees to confess that sin to God at any point in time and place, wherever I am. Not just when we are taking communion, but of course that's a formal way in coming as a corporate body of believers so that we are all to be made was anew. Looking into God's word, desiring his message, and longing to obey it. That doesn't mean you'll be sinlessly perfect. When we desire and long to meditate upon thy word, but remember, sometimes we fall down and we need to stand up, not on our own strength, but we need to confess those sins so that in that way, God is perfecting us not to like to sin. Sometimes this verse in 1 John, sometimes Christian never sin again. No, we all also are tempted to sin. That's why the Lord Jesus died for our sin. He shed that blood for us so that those sacrifices in the Old Testament will not be used. Can you imagine the animals, the sheep, goats, and the bulls? No animals will exist if that will continue today. Praise God. The blood of those animals look forward to the living Savior, the living Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, with our Lord Jesus Christ. But our life should actually be marked by increasing spiritual maturity when we study constantly God's word. Thank God that on Wednesday we are having Bible study to meet that need. And encouraged to really deep, not only in the shallow of the word of God, but on the deep doctrine. And yet, which is particularly the doctrine of the Trinity. And yet, sometimes when it is deep, we are discouraged because our minds cannot penetrate the truth of that. But if we really pray before God and ask God to give us adequate understanding, and I say adequate because our own minds cannot penetrate all the deep things of God. We need to ask God for His help so that our spiritual maturity will continue to move on until He takes us from this world. And we will also not going to have spiritual maturity, but continuous obedience to the Word of God that we study. However, when we are disobedient, in my prayer a while ago, although we are in many ways revived by God and cry to God for revival, we, like David, sometimes we have disobedience, not in the same form of sin that he did, but in some form of many sins that the world or the devil can inflict upon us. So when we are disobedient, we should feel an enormous tension, and that is the restlessness of the soul, restlessness in the spirit. So until we confess that sin and repent of that sin and make things right, then we are not back to that same motivation, inspiration from the Holy Spirit to go back to God and enjoy that communion, that holy communion with Him, as we do it here quite so many times during the week. It's a privilege. Sometimes it is also trying. It's trying because God is testing our obedience and our allegiance to Him to work in His righteousness and holiness. Now the question we must ask ourselves tonight is, are we hearing and receiving God's word in that way? We are encouraged by this text that we do those who know us best, do they see us as a person whose life is governed by the truths that we learn from God's word, and from the truths as well that we are being taught on Sundays and Wednesdays? Jesus said in chapter 8 of John, verse 31, "If you abide in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine." We are encouraged by this verse to receive His truth and abide in it continually. Again, this does not come automatically. We need to plead God and cry to Him. Like what Paul says, like the King David says in Psalm 51, "Lord, don't take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of my salvation." And that's it. Because unforgiving sins cannot restore back our salvation, the joy of our salvation. We need to have that new peace as a result of being washed anew by the precious blood of the Lamb. In conclusion, let's thank God for His precious word, for the marvelous transforming work it accomplishes in us. There were various words that describe the attributes of God in this Psalm 119. But for our meditation and tonight, if you go back to home, Psalm 119 verse 114 refers to God's word as statute of God, the commandments of God, the testimonies of God, the judgment of God are trustworthy and they are righteous altogether. Now, if you don't have that viewpoint on the Word of God, then we cannot come with delight because we just exercise study of God's Word to fill our minds with information. But this week, as I'm reading that Psalm 55, I try to go into the one of the, they were sent to the Philippines, by the way, those 13 volumes of Calvin, but there is one that I still have a copy somewhere in the different version, that psalm, the psalmist has taught John Calvin that when he studied God's word, it is the most delightful moment of his life. That's why he became such a great theologian of his time. When we read this psalm, or any psalms, particularly this Psalm 119, how does it describe God's word? Well, I already said to you, God's word are righteous, they are true, God is gracious, God is righteous altogether. And what does benefit the word of God brings? Well, in the prayer of the psalmist, and I'll pick up one only for our benefits tonight, is that in verse 11 of 119, what the word of God does to him is that in his prayer, Lord, I've hidden thy word in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Well, that is what we have just explored tonight. That if we are not clean inside, if we are unconscious sin inside, we cannot actually commune with God and study God's word to our delight. So the psalmist expresses continually his encouragement to us to quick to listen and slow to anger. Ask the Lord to help us to be sensitive to his word in every situation that we face from tonight until the rest of the week. Noting that even in further reading God's word in like 1 Thessalonians 2:13 to 14, the Thessalonians' response to God's word is such a delight to their soul. There is a sense of delight when the Thessalonians respond to God's word. In fact, when the teaching of Paul's return, the teaching of second return of Paul to them, of the second coming, in chapter 4, some of them stopped working. They look forward to the coming of Christ. But of course, we should not take that literally. But of course, despite your belief on the three aspects of the way that the Lord will come, whether you're premillennialist or millennialist or postmillennialist, my position is that Christ will come at any time. Christ will come imminently, any moment of the day. So I won't say anything else to other forms of beliefs, but I believe that Christ will come anytime. And that encourages us, actually, to read God's word. How much good, isn't it, when Pastor Mark is teaching us on Wednesday and preaching on Sunday, the Lord will come. We are already, isn't it? May God's word encourage us tonight. Amen.